You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 22nd of September 2021. Later, the boardroom gender diversity. It is improving, we'll tell you by how much soon. But first to the ASX, which recovered today, up 0.3% on the S&P ASX 200, 7,296. That's as China's Evergrande met a repayment deadline, but does it guarantee its future? I spoke earlier with Francesco Destrades from Ord Minnett. Francesco, the market's looking to China over the past few days, Evergrande in particular, and it's potentially reached a deal with bondholders. Well, what does this mean?
Yeah, look, it's put a bit of stability back into the market. Looks like they've come to an arrangement where they're going to pay the coupon. That's the interest payment that's due. It's about $35-36 million, so quite a large interest payment on their loans. But look, it's, I suppose, provided a little bit of confidence in the marketplace, confidence in that, you know, potentially they'll be able to make other repayments. Yeah, they do have a couple more due over the next couple of weeks. On Thursday, they've got an $83 million coupon due. And on the 29th of September, I think it is, they've got another $47 million coupon due. So we don't know a great deal of detail behind what's occurred as far as appeasing the bondholders. I suspect there might be a little bit of intervention by government or policymakers, but I'm not 100% certain on that. But look, it's put a bit of stability back in the markets, and we've seen our market turn around because of that.
Okay, so there's still another key interest rate payment, I guess, tomorrow, if I'm not wrong then. So the developments today, does it alleviate fears of an Evergrande collapse, or will that be maintained?
Yeah, look, it's, you know, if I could put it this way, possibly a stay of execution. You know, they live to fight another day. Look, I'm not sure yet. They've got debts totaling anywhere between $300 and $400 billion. Depending which, you know, sources you read, but you know they have to be pretty much, you know, somewhat accurate, if you like. Look at this, and this sort of level of debt's not going to go away in a hurry, nor are the coupon payments. You know, they keep coming around, a bit like, you know, doing the laundry, if you like. You know, the coupon payments will keep coming until you pay that debt off. Look, I suspect, as I mentioned, policymakers might get involved here if it does come to a point where you know, Evergrande might be facing extinction. I think, you know, to save face, the Chinese government might step in and provide some sort of assistance, whether that be breaking the company up into smaller parts. But that's if it gets to that stage. I'm not sure yet.
How's it all impacting Australia? Because the market's bounced back again today.
Yeah, look, a strong bounce after the announcement that they're making this coupon payment. But look, the obvious one is the iron ore market. We've seen iron ore prices go up over $200, $220 a ton. They're back down to $100 a ton. I think if you remember 5 or 6 years ago with the mining boom, you know, $100 a ton was just unheard of. You know, I think it got around $125. So look, you know, the obvious one's the iron ore price, but yeah, it is spread amongst other commodities as well, because in construction they use a lot of copper and nickel and lead. So the commodity markets have been impacted here in Australia. You know, Australia's already been, you know, impacted by trade restrictions anyway on their other products, or a lot of our other products. So look, I think broader afield, it's probably more of a long-term impact of the spread of this. But look, yeah, we've got the iron ore producers, the lowest cost iron ore producers in the world, even at $100 a tonne, they're making extremely good money.
And just finally, the FOMC meeting, first day happened earlier today. What are you expecting and what do you think this will mean for markets?
Yeah, look, we are expecting some level of tapering. How much, we don't know. And, you know, look, depending on how much tapering they will announce, will determine on how much the markets react. Obviously, if they do too much more than expected by the markets will come off, or vice versa. You know, the Fed has indicated in the past that, you know, tapering is not a trigger for the markets to expect rate rises. But you know, it's a consequence of that down the track, I would suspect. So they don't want to spook the markets at this stage. Tapering will suck some liquidity out of the markets, but I suppose everyone will be watching at the level of tapering, whether they suspect it might be a bit too much tapering, then they would be anticipating rate rises a bit earlier than expected.
Francesco Destratis there from Ord Minnett. Now to some good news about boardroom diversity on Australia's top listed companies. The Australian Institute of Company Directors says there are now no all-male boards in Australia's top 200 listed companies for the first time in history. And women now make up 33.7% of all board roles on the ASX 200. For more, a little earlier, Sarah Conti spoke with 30% Club Australia's Chair Nicola Wakefield-Evans.
We've reached a few milestones in the past quarter. One is that we've no longer got any ASX 200 boards with no women. So there's at least one woman appointed to our top 200 companies. And we're thrilled about that because when we started looking at this in 2015, there were 28 companies with no female board directors. So it's really pleasing. The new data shows that the ASX 200 is up to 33.7% of women on boards. And we're also seeing a really big increase in the next group, the ASX 300 cohort. So the companies that are from 201 to 300, we've seen a 6% increase in the number of women appointed to the boards of those 100 companies. So it's a really, really pleasing result, particularly in light of COVID, where I think we predicted 18 months ago that we could see a stalling of our progress, but we've not seen that. And we're really thrilled that our chairman and CEOs and boards have maintained their commitment to diversity at the board level.
So what does this tell us about the business world?
So I think it's telling us that the business world is accepting the case for diversity, both the reason why we need to have diverse leadership. The business case has been set for some time, and I think our big organisations now understand that they need to have diverse leadership at all levels. We've still got a long way to go, though. It's great news on the board side, but last week Chief Executive Women released their executive census, which showed that the results are not the same on the executive side of the business, so that the teams that report to the CEOs, there's still a lot of work to be done in that cohort. And that concerns me when I look at boards, because the pipeline for women to be appointed as directors comes from women who've had executive experience.
You mentioned that there's work to do. How should we feel about these figures? Should we be happy? Should we be concerned?
We should be pleased that more women are being appointed to boards. There's still a lot of work to be done, though. There's still a third of ASX 200 boards that have got less than 30% of women on their boards. So there's still a lot of companies within the group that we look at that have only one or less than 30%. So we need to work on those companies. And, you know, my goal is to have every company with a minimum of 30% of women on their boards. That's where we've still got a long way to go. It's the larger companies that are bringing the statistics up. However, my view is that when you get change at our large organisations, it sort of pulls, the change trickles through down to smaller listed companies. So hopefully we'll start to see a lot of, you know, the companies with only one female director appoint subsequent women on their boards.
You mentioned, you know, the trickle effect. What do we need to do to keep this momentum going?
Well, what we found is the constant reporting. So having it in the public eye, we rely on a lot of stakeholders to reach these milestones. So the pressure that investors put on boards is really important. The pressure, we ask our executive search firms to make sure that when they're assisting boards to in recruiting directors, that they have balanced lists, that they find as many women candidates as male candidates. And we have a really good dialogue with the chairs of our top listed companies, and they've all been fantastic in supporting our goals and the, you know, by simply making the appointments.
Nicola Wakefield-Evans there from 30% Club Australia speaking with Sarah Conti.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.